The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This, to me, is a barometer of an involved human being, how often you are cleaning your towels.
Based on smell.
Yeah. I mean, that's how Chewy does everything.
Honestly, why is my towel still damp?
Because it's not your towel. It's my towel, Schmidt.
It's not your towel. Your towel's the red one.
I'll tell you this, pal. I've never used that. I do use that one every single day.
They take up a lot of space in the washing machine. So, like, you can't do, what can you do? How many towels? Five, maybe? What? Depending on how, four at a time? How many towels are you doing at a time?
Like 10.
More than
what
are you
talking about?
Are you out of your mind? What do you mean? Am I? How do you think this is your towel? Do you even wash it?
No, I don't wash the towel. The towel washes me. Who washes a towel?
You never wash.
You wash your towel?
No.
You're throwing 10 towels into
your washing machine for babies?
You never wash the towel?
What am I going to do? Wash the shower next? Wash a bar of soap? You got to think here, pal.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Offices One Call That's All Studios at the Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They make the plans. We sit.
I, for one, had a mostly uneventful, relaxing, enjoyable weekend. Went for a walk in the dog park. Went to a little kid's birthday party. Just very chill, very understated. And I liked it. Chewy, on the other hand, well, Chewy is basically running a sitcom over there by himself, single-handedly sitcomming his way through the weekend. I don't even know where to start with you, sir.
Well, let's start with Friday.
Okay, well, so
chronological then?
You know what? Before we start, I have a question. Do you have plans to do things with friends every weekend?
No, my wife does.
You know what? That
resonates with me.
What do you mean? We hung out this weekend. You're the one who invited me to come out and hang out.
The sigh woven through that response, Joshy, was impressive. What do you got?
Me and Gabe did hang out this weekend, but what ends up happening is my significant other has plans, and then I involve my friends to try and make it a little more tolerable.
What a resounding endorsement of your significant other's friends.
Yeah.
Does she have FOMO?
She's just a busybody.
Wife has the worst, and would never admit it, the worst case of FOMO known to man. And she'll deny it. So
when's the last time you two hung out for like a Saturday afternoon
or
Saturday night?
I thought it was going to be Friday.
Okay.
Well, let me explain the story. So it was my birthday, the weekend before?
Sure.
So there were trickle-down presents. So on Thursday, I got a big box at the front door from Omaha Steaks.
Beautiful.
Good friends open it up. They were at the little gathering there. And there's two New York strips and two lobster tails.
Sounds like a nice little surf and turf night at home.
So I'm like, how about Friday? We just hang. I'll cook these things up. We'll, eat on the back patio, watch the sunset, blah, blah, blah. Great. Wonderful. Yeah, that sounds good. Get all the dinner ready. You know, planning on a 6:30 meal. And she's like, can we bump it up to 6:15? I'm like, yeah, sure. Why? We have friends coming over. So about three couple stragglers. She opens up nice bottle of wine. So it's wolfing down our dinner. So when the friends come, we're good. I'm like, whatever, I just roll. So the friends come over, everyone has a glass of red wine, and then we go. You guys all seen the picture of the dive bar we like to go to, which is half a mile down the road. Go there. So then I come back, and I was one of the first ones out the door. No one drank all their wine.
Seems kind of rude.
Which is fine. So, and then I texted you guys. I'm like, I took everyone's wine, put it into a new glass, and sat there and watched Peaky Blinders and drank it all. Is that legal?
Okay. So.
Because Jen said, what about backwash? I mean, at that point, maybe a bottle of half in and a gummy. I don't think backwash is crossing.
I mean, these are adults, right? Like, they should know how to drink. Everybody should know how to drink a little bit of wine out of a glass. So you left. So everybody went to the dive bar. You left everybody at the dive bar?
Yeah, I came back. No, I think Ange came with me.
That's your question? Your question is, oh, you came back from the bar to drink the people's wine.
I think he said he was the first one out the door, meaning he was the first one to leave, so he didn't notice everyone leaving their wine behind.
Yes. And then I came back, because I was back probably 10:30. I'm old. I don't like to go out. Well, we're going to get to old in a little bit, because that's Saturday morning. So I filled them all up and threw it into... Jen, I could see you were vehemently against it.
So I think this is a big party foul. You do not gather up the remnants of your guests' beverages and then drink them.
I agree if it's a $20 bottle of wine.
Yeah. No, I mean, so there's a couple of things I think working in Chewy's advantage here. First, I think that's a good rule, Jen, if you live in a frat house. Like, you're not doing that. You're not playing. You're not mixing up all those. You don't know. I mean, one of those could be a spit cup, whatever. Chewy's is, you know, Chewy runs or lives in, his wife runs the household, a sophisticated, classy house. Right? Like, this isn't the riffraff are just coming in from everywhere. A couple of, you know, nice.
I'm going to need a 30.
Yeah.
Isn't he friends with the Blammer?
Yeah, he's Blammer, not invited.
Yeah, Blammer lives up here. He's down in Florida.
I'm just saying, if that's a standard, if that's the bar, if that's the expectation of people that Chewy is hanging out with,
I mean,
I'm not sure you can confidently make the statement you just made.
Yes, but if I gave... Hold on.
His wife invited
Gave Blammer a $100 glass of wine, I would lose three fingers.
Yeah, so that's the other thing. Chewy's not the one who invited these people over.
Yeah, it's
his wife is the one who invited these people over. They're not necessarily Chewy's friends. We know they're Angie's friends. We don't know if they're necessarily Chewy's friends, much like Josh just explained. Sometimes he has to invite his friends, so it becomes a little more tolerant.
But I would argue that if they're your friends, you're more comfortable doing it. But if you're if they're your wife's friends, now they're a further degree of separation away from acceptable.
Yeah, but you're pouring the wine into a different glass. It's fine.
What's the point of the glass?
Hold on, Jen. What's the fear?
Is this gross?
Germies.
It's backwash?
Saliva.
People who drink wine, you're like sipping it. So it's touching your lips and going back into the cup. It's not like people are just downing it or it's not like out of a can.
It's not a water bottle that has a squirt top on it, is what we're trying to say. You know, it's not like dramatically, 5 inches away from your mouth and you're spraying the wine into your mouth.
So Gabe's in my camp. Gabe,
yeah.
You're pouring Whistle Pig or something like that to friends, and they leave.
Is that a brandy? Is that a whiskey?
That is a high-level bourbon, yes.
Okay.
It's a good bourbon.
I mean, you're not throwing that away, are you?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Like, Chewy, I have done this before where, you know, have some friends over for a little bit of a celebration. You pull out the really nice scotch, right? Like, hey, really good stuff. Maybe somebody doesn't like it. I am not letting that really good scotch go to waste.
Then be more responsible when you're pouring it. Don't pour full glasses if you're not sure if your guests are going to finish it.
Well, okay, first of all, you're not pouring a full glass of scotch. Like, this thing is expensive.
Three fingers.
Right? Like, three fingers. Tops. Tops.
I'm talking whatever a standard pour is, don't pour that.
Yeah, well, but I mean, you give them a couple fingers, you should be able to, you know, finish that.
You don't know that they like it, you don't give them the whole thing.
No, if I'm giving you scotch, you pretend you like it.
Yeah, that's. I was going to say here, this is on the guests. This is poor performance. If I'm at somebody's house and they're giving me expensive wine, I'm drinking every last damn drop, whether I hate it or not.
Yes, but you're basically an alcoholic.
I just know how to behave.
Whoa.
Josh, 2 minutes for rebuttal.
I don't think basically is a fair word to use there.
You should remove basically.
I think we just got to sit this one out. They were on the same side.
Yeah, I know.
And now they're arguing with each other.
I've had like seven beers in 2 months. How can I be an alcoholic?
I just assumed you were drinking other substances other beverages.
Nothing.
I guess my question to you is, you're trying to say, Joshy, that the beginning is where you're messing up.
Yeah. But
as a guest, though, by not saying no thank you?
Yes.
Like, if you can't drink the full glass of wine and you're watching as Chewy is pouring these decent pours, your answer should be no thank you.
Yeah, I sit out wine all the time at my house. All right, I just don't have it
poured. Or if you know it's time to go, guess what?
Bottoms up.
Jen, what's your bougie food? Like a lobster tail or a filet or something along those lines? What if the guest comes there and doesn't finish their entire lobster tail or they eat half of their filet?
I don't depend.
I ain't throwing that away.
I guess it depends on how they ate it. Did they eat it with
I think a lot is person too. Person by person.
Sure. Yeah. Like I feel like, and maybe this is a dude thing. Like I feel like my husband would probably eat the steak. Or eat the filet.
I mean,
or drink the whiskey, if that's it. Or the bourbon, if that's what it was. I don't know. It's for whatever reason, too, it's given me the heebie-jeebies. It's given me the jeeks. Is that what you call it? The jeeks?
I mean, so what you do in this situation with the food, Chew, you take the knife, you kind of cut off the last, you know, last part where they ate and cut off. You discard that little piece, and now you're fine.
See, I will do that with my family members, but I think family is where I draw the line. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Who are you letting use your toothbrush? Whose toothbrush are you using?
My wife.
Yeah, that's my toothbrush is mine.
Yeah.
Hey.
Okay, but what's the difference between a toothbrush, which went in your mouth, and the wine, which also touched your mouth?
The plaque that is used to get toothbrush off.
Yeah.
What? Uh-huh. The plaque that's
The plaque that's on your teeth that the toothbrush used. Yeah, that's the difference.
But you don't know what's on that person's mouth, and you don't know who they have been also, you know.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm pretty sure at some point in time, you stuck your tongue down Dario's mouth.
That's what I'm saying. I literally said family is my extension. I would stop at family. You know, I'm not going to be all prude here and be like, oh, where has that mouth been? I know. You know, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, but beyond family, beyond people I share a dwelling with, I don't think I'm taking their wine and I don't think I'm eating their food. If they leave it, oopsie poopsie.
Yeah. The tough thing is the expensive nature.
As somebody who self-admittedly has you save like the ketchup packets that you get at fast food places.
Yeah, but those are unopened.
But like you're doing that because you're like, oh, it could save money. Like $100 bottle of wine.
All right, Josh.
Hold on. We went to this new taco spot in Mequon the other day and I asked for a couple of extra plates and they brought them out right so we could divvy up the corn that comes in a little cup. And they brought us too many plates. So Chaser was going to go throw them away. I stuck them in my purse. I go, no, we'll use those.
So paper plates?
They were like, oh, good cardboard, like stock.
So you're willing to save money that way, but you're willing to literally pour a $100 bottle of wine down the drain.
If someone has already put their mouth on it, it feels like it's out of bounds. Feels like it's off limits.
Pour from the other side.
Peter weighing in on our ESPN Milwaukee Talking text line. Lot of judgment coming from someone who said they would brush their teeth with a tampon.
Good point.
But it was my dog.
If you happen to miss that conversation, download Friday's show wherever you get your podcast.
And obviously tampons come wrapped. They're all wrapped. That's a sanitary thing, obviously.
Famously sterile.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like that's not really the point you're trying to make. Let's see. Clint weighing in saying the alcohol kills off whatever germs are in there anyway, so you're probably good to shoot.
That's not how that works. That's exactly how alcohol works, Josh. I don't know what college you went to, but...
Wait, so if you get a cut or a laceration, you should just throw some...
Yeah, grab some vodka.
Red wine, throw it on there, kills all the germs.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing as hydrogen peroxide.
Justin weighing in saying, when Chewy says it was fine, things were indeed not fine. What if your friends found out?
I don't think they'd care. They were just happy they were getting some luscious wine.
Are you trying to tell me nobody else out there has an issue with this? Again, I'm not sitting here saying it's the biggest deal in the world. It's ending friendships and whatnot. I'm simply saying that it kind of makes me uncomfortable.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
No. I would take somebody's like untouched food. That, to me, is fine. So, like, a lobster tail, you have it prepared, and the person did touch it. To me, that's fine. If somebody's eaten or drank off of it, I understand the cost portion of it, but I just wouldn't do it. Especially after it sat out for a couple hours, I imagine, too.
Wait, but wine, you know, it got a little, you know.
Aerated a little more.
A little more aeration.
You're supposed to let it sit out, I believe.
Yeah, famously, that's what you're supposed to do with wine. Again, I think it's a cost thing, Chew, because if somebody leaves a half-drank bottle of High Life behind, that's going down the drain. Like, High Life, who cares? $100 bottle of wine, yes. Expensive bourbon, expensive scotch, yeah.
Okay,
that's
so
not
we
going
have figured out a few of the variables that change whether or not it is acceptable or unacceptable. And Gabe is saying cost is the first thing. If it's expensive, it makes it more acceptable to go ahead and finish it off. Also, I think it's the proximity to you. If it's your family... fine. If it's good friends, what let's okay, so Chu, what's stopping you from going to a big event? Well, besides the fact that you don't like people, but hear me out, it's hypothetical. Going to a big event, walking past one of those tall tables, somebody leaves some appetizers on the tray and going, oh, I'll take one of those also. You know what I mean? Like, is it because they're friends-ish, friends adjacent, that it was also like, eh, no big deal. It was at his house? Is that a part of it as well? Because
that's
it was
a big
at your
part of it.
House?
Yes.
I don't know. If it's not bitten into at a function, I'd have no problem grabbing it.
Steal some fries.
Well, I mean, but I think everybody's seen that before where, you know, you're at like a table of eight, you only have seven, they bring out an entree, they set it down for that eighth spot, people just start divvying it up.
What?
They're just going to throw that food away, Jen.
I don't think I've ever seen anyone.
You've never seen people
do
this?
No, they bring out an extra plate and people are like, I got dibs on the kale.
Yeah. I'll take the chicken.
I find sitting on a toilet seat after some of my friends have used it more disgusting than what I did with the wine and food.
What? Sitting on a toilet seat after you recognize that every public toilet seat has been sat on by someone else before you sat on it.
But
I don't take dumps other than in my house.
You're a home guy.
Yeah,
you got to be not playing any road games.
I thought about it the other day because I had to. I'm like, I ain't going in my gym. I can tell you that.
But, so do you try to plan out your day so you can be as close to home base as possible?
If I eat life cereal, yes.
But like I'm done. What do you do when you go on like vacation?
Oh, the hotel's fine because they wash those.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Beth weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line saying, have you never asked someone to try your drink before? It's a great question. Very adjacent to what we're discussing.
Yeah.
Yes, but also we don't share straws. Like, so if I have a girlfriend who I'm like, hey, try this. Throw another straw in, or she puts her straw in, or she sips from the side or something like that. But like, also, it's a friend. I'm not asking somebody who's like more degrees of separation away from me to try my drink.
Yeah, so these were friends for Chu.
They weren't friends of Chu's. They were friends of Angie's. And as we've learned, he doesn't even have to know them.
I think we're all hygienically cleared.
Do you know the name of everybody who is in your house?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a fair question.
Yeah.
That was a fair question.
Yeah,
I feel like we're in the Good Will Hunting scene where she asks him his names of his brothers. Yeah. Like, Tommy,
Mickey,
Timmy,
Marky, yeah, Tommy, Timmy, Brian, Sarah. Again.
Exactly. Thank you, too. All right, we're going to put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. We'll describe the situation. And, of course, we didn't even get to Saturday where Chewy has another story. It's like the second act of Chewy's weekend. We'll get to that as the show rolls on.
With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows what success looks like. They've been serving businesses and individuals in the area for nearly 15 years, including a longstanding commitment to the healthcare industry. From expansion to treasury management, Fifth Third offers a full suite of financial services and solutions across the healthcare spectrum to meet the complex moments you're navigating. I love the team over at Fifth Third Bank. Very friendly. They know what to do. They're going to be able to help you and point your business in the right direction. Fifth Third Bank, National Association. Custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Thanks, Ernie. I'm going to Venmo you that money right after the show.
You can't. You don't know how to use Venmo.
Made my workload much less. But Ernie,
you don't know how to Ernie, do it. And I don't know
does
how
it
to
ever?
It, so it's,
yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Have you ever been close to tragedy or been close to folks who have? Have you ever felt the pain so powerful, so heavy you collapse?
We're going to put this on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. We're just working on making it a little bit more efficient. But the general idea is, Chewy had people over this weekend. After they all left, he gathered up what was left in their wine glasses, put it into his wine glass, and had himself a pretty good little night. Would you? Yes or no? Something along those lines. Joshy's working on it. He'll figure it out.
What's the difference between what Chewy did and, if, let's say, you know, you go to a Packers game, you find a way to sneak in a little flask.
Are you endorsing that?
You pass around a flask. I'm just saying, you know.
Hypothetically.
Yeah, I am. To be clear, I'm endorsing that.
And then would you also
so
take
never,
some polls
so
off
So you're
of
telling
it?
Me, you've been disgusted by this thing that Chewy did.
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me you've never shared a flask with a buddy?
I probably have, yeah.
What's the difference?
Yeah, good point. Thank you.
The difference is, like, when I fill a glass, first of all, I'm taking cups, things from other places. It's all coming. The wine started in a bottle, ended up in a bunch of cups. So now it's gone all different people, all different things. Then bringing them back together in the same cup, to me, like, you're just mixing all sorts of germies. It's gross to me.
There's definitely some saliva in those cups.
Yeah.
Whether it's on the rim of the cups or whether it's in the liquid, because some people still spit back into glasses when they're drinking.
Yeah,
unintentional, of course, Gabe. No one is intentionally hocking a loogie in their glass. But more than likely, if you tested that wine, you're going to get some DNA. That's just the reality.
Nah, the alcohol kills the DNA.
No, we already learned that. That's not how that works.
No, specifically how that works.
If that were true, why aren't people using alcohol at crime scenes, right? We try to cover up what you did. Yeah, throw a little vodka on it. It'll be fine. They'll never know. CSI, gotcha.
What is wine, like 14% alcohol? You're not close to the killing of bacteria.
What if it was grain alcohol, Josh?
All different.
151.
Some moonshine. Yeah. I'd be like, yeah, I guess. What can you do? It's just pure alcohol.
Lee weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and text line saying, how is this any different than passing a bottle of schnapps around with
Same
a group
thing.
Of friends?
Exactly.
Same thing.
Schnapps? Like peach schnapps?
I mean.
Or what about taking a pull off of someone's grit? That's the same thing, right?
I've never had a cigarette, but yes, I would. That would be the same thing.
Yeah.
To me, it's not the same thing, though. When things get distributed and put back together into one vessel, it changes to me. That changes the math. When there's multiple people, I understand taking a pull can be gross. Sometimes you do that because you've had too much to drink and aren't thinking the right way. Like, I understand that's not something I'd love to do. Typically, you can even float it above your mouth and do it that way.
Would you share forks, though?
No.
Because I think this is where we start to get a little dicey. If you're willing to share forks, but not toothbrushes, spoons, but not toothbrushes. Like, we're trying to nail down that spot where it goes from being acceptable to unacceptable, because it feels like universally people are saying they won't share toothbrushes.
Yeah.
But I've said I'll share it with my family. Like, if I'm in a jam, let's say we go on vacation and I don't have a toothbrush, I would use my husband's or I would use my kid's toothbrush. I wouldn't think twice of it. And I told Gabe, it's because proximity. Like, we're all sharing the same air and the same space on a daily basis. If they got something, I'm getting it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's just how
sure.
Being living in a house together works. How many times have you seen the beer bong cleaned between uses? That from Dave in Aaron. Look, we do a lot of dumb things when we're in college, okay? There might have been nights where I was kissing one guy at 5:30 and another guy at 6:30. So, again, I'm not saying that things weren't happening back in the day. I'm simply saying now I don't feel comfortable taking beverages that people drank, pouring them into a glass, and then consuming them myself,
but
no matter how expensive they are.
One thing we can all agree, though, and come together on, is that the guests showed poor form by not finishing their drinks.
100%.
Right? Like, we can all agree on that.
Well, I'm not forcing people to drink if they don't want to drink. I think the answer is not that they needed to finish them. This isn't some sort of, like, you know, throw it down. You know,
somebody gives you a $100 bottle of wine, you finish your glass.
I think you say no thank you. That's where we're going to disagree. Mm-hmm. It's the no thank you versus the chug. Nobody's going to make me chug an alcohol I don't want to drink. Okay? And it's not because of I'm in their house and there's some type of social moray. Then I should have said no thank you at the start.
Yeah, you still messed up.
But they were pouring.
It's
their
still
own,
on you.
So it's more on them.
Well,
wait, they're okay.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, yes.
Now these are people that should get banned from the house.
Yes. they're crossing lines.
So the reality of that is you always take a taste swig first. It's just like when you go to a restaurant, then they pour a little bit of the wine in there. If you don't know if you're going to like the blend, don't take a full glass.
Well, still, but again, we're all agreeing the guests are the ones who actually messed up here. If the guests finish their drinks, then Chewy doesn't have to clean up after them.
Gabe, would you share a cigar with people on the golf course? That from Justin.
Have I? Maybe after one too many. You know, just, I only got the one. All right, I'll take a couple puffs.
Against your better judgment, it sounds like.
I mean, could I say it hasn't happened before? No, I cannot say that it has not happened before.
Josh,
can't say
here's
that.
Another one. What about sticking your hand into the Cheeto bag that you and your buddies are sharing?
Hand? Mouth?
Yeah, mouth is the thing here. That's
yeah, but you're eating it and going diving down and getting some more and eating it. It's like you're making out with your bros. I mean, if you want to get
right,
technical.
Bud,
if you want to make out with your pals, just make out with your pals. You don't have to excuse it away in the Cheeto
bud,
bag.
Quick, quick digression here, man. We were doing really good. We were on a great track. All right. Then you had to bring the Cheetos into it. All right.
Gabe,
like, let's forget the Cheetos. Let's stay
doing
on the wall.
Well, until Jen called Joshy an alcoholic.
Yeah. That was
last segment.
Uncalled for.
Look, again, we had them fighting against one another.
So here's the only thing I know. The only time I've ever drank with Joshy was at Gabe's wedding. Joshy, you put him back, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, so that's the thing about Josh.
Open bar type of thing? Is that what we're dealing with?
So Josh, if Josh is going to go, he's going to go. He is not the guy that is going to be able to sit down, like we're going out for a dinner, and then he's going home after. He's not going to sit there and have one. If Joshy's going to have one,
he's all in.
He's going to go all in.
Yeah. Okay. It's 0 or 10.
All right. I apologize for the character assassination that took place in the first segment of the program. Sincerely. But that was my only time ever being with you, and I was like, this guy's got a problem.
I mean, it's a wedding.
Yeah, wait, you're judging Josh for getting hammered at a wedding?
I mean, hammered is one thing. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding, and you're right. I thought that you drank more than you do. That's what I thought, so I was wrong about that.
We've been in situations drinking together, and you just didn't notice it. It was just Gabe's wedding. Maybe I started 4 hours before the wedding even started. Maybe things got a little dicey.
Hey, I've already come around with the apology. Don't make me take it back because you add details to the story, buddy.
Hey, friends are in town. Things get a little crazy.
I thought for sure we were going to get to this Aaron Jones thing here, but shockingly, we did not. Let's get to Aaron Jones right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Golf lovers, listen up. We've got the opportunity of a lifetime for you on the tee. Which is starting up at the end of the month, by the way, is heading to Scotland with our friends at Wisconsin Golf Trips. That's right, Scotland. Myself, Stephen Watson, we're heading over to Scotland to play some great historic courses like Dumbarney Links, Carnoustie, Kings Barnes, and more. So if you're interested in going, all you have to do is text GOLF right now to the ESPN Milwaukee Talking Text Line, 800-990-3776. There, you can take a look at what our package offers. It includes green fees, lodging, transportation, and more. Limited amount of spots available, so sign up now. Again, text GOLF to 800-990-3776, G-O-L-F, 800-990-3776. Take a look at the full itinerary. Plus, there's a link there where you can put down your deposit to secure your spot as we head to Scotland for On the Tee.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If it's gotten to the point...
No, I don't think shower.
What do you mean? What do you mean you're not going to take a shower? You just told me you're offended by your own BO.
No, but I think it's deodorant, Gabe. Showering does nothing. It really doesn't.
You are wrong.
Because
you must be showering wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I want to be very conscious about not fear-mongering on this next story. So I want to be clear when we begin the story about Aaron Jones and his future with the Green Bay Packers with this line. The Green Bay Packers want Aaron Jones back. That was a sentence in the article that Tom Silverstein wrote that dropped this weekend on the future of Aaron Jones with the Green Bay Packers. The Packers want him back. So I want to make sure we're not making it appear as though, well, they're undecided. They're not sure. He's getting up there. All of those types of things that maybe you might think would go into this decision. That is not the case. Packers want Aaron Jones back. They do, however, Gabe, want him back cheaper than he is currently structured at.
Yeah, so when they did what they did a year ago, it was just a straight pay cut. It's not like they tried to push money off to the future. It was just a straight pay cut for Aaron Jones. And now this year, he is scheduled to have a cap hit of $17.5 million. The number that they have that they can play with the most is his base salary number, just a little over $11 million. So they're looking to reduce that. That would then in turn reduces the cap hit, so on and so forth. So the $11.1 million that he is scheduled to make, in addition to a workout bonus of $500,000 and more money that he can make on a per game bonus, which adds up to less than $500,000, that's the numbers that they're trying to bring on down, because paying a running back $11.1 million just isn't what teams do in 2024. So even though Aaron Jones was super valuable to them last year, they're looking for a way to make it make more sense from the salary cap perspective.
So who has more leverage? I'm saying Aaron Jones has more leverage. If I am him, because we can agree that this is his last kick of the cap, right?
I don't think he has a kick at the cat anymore. I think his last big contract, Chew, was the last one he signed.
Yeah, but they need him. They need him.
Okay, so this is the debate, Chew. This is the debate of, because a lot of people reacted to this article when it went out this weekend, and the question was, why are you not willing to pay Aaron Jones whatever he wants, given all he has done for the franchise, and given last year it was very obvious that he was a big part of why they had success down the stretch.
Yes.
He had five straight 100-yard rushing games to end the season, and we saw that the offense struggled in the middle of the year when he was out, when he came back. Now, it took him a little time to get back up to speed, but he is the straw that stirs that drink. So there are people out there who are saying, pay Aaron Jones whatever he wants because he has proven his value year in and year out.
But he also only played, I mean, how many games did he miss last year? Not six? And then was limited in other games?
Yeah, but do you still want to roll the dice and pick up one of these free agent running backs that are out there and they don't work? They turn into a Dalvin Cook. And then it's going to hijack your whole season. Because without a running game, Aaron Jones is, what's his name? Love? That guy.
Jordan Love
is not as good.
Did you have a little bit of that wine game in between segments here, pal?
Yeah. Yeah. Reverbing. Am I right? He's not as good. And what are you going to roll the dice with
wow, the names this morning are not. You're talking about A.J. Dillon?
A.J. Dillon.
Okay, no, A.J. Dillon's not going to be back.
Correct. I think that has been well established, or at least that is the general thought.
So if I am Aaron Jones, I'm like, fine, I want a two-year deal. I want a two-year deal and give me some guaranteed money, or give me a one-year deal for $14 million. And if you're not, then I'm testing the market.
Well, one-year deal for $14 million, like, they already have him under contract for less than that. So that would be unwise.
Yeah, but it's the cap number that's debilitating, right? Because isn't that like...
He has the second highest cap for running backs in the NFL, only behind Alvin Kamara. So he's at 17.575.
Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is I don't think the Packers are driving the bus here. You agree or disagree?
I disagree. Because, okay, good luck, Aaron. Like, go get your one-year $14 million contract on the open market when Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, Austin Eckler, and all those other guys are out there. Like, the market is already over-flooded with running backs. The market wasn't over-flooded with running backs, and somebody who has had really better career numbers than Aaron Jones and Dalvin Cook last year, the best he could do was a one-year, $7 million deal with some incentives that he ended up not hitting and ended up getting cut from the Jets.
So it sounds like you're saying, Gabe, they can actually afford, and I don't mean afford from a financial standpoint, I mean afford from a situational standpoint, they can afford to let Aaron Jones go out and test the free agent market, which is why, because people have been talking about how the Packers could cut Aaron Jones. And if they were to cut him, he would be able to go out, mm-hmm. see what offers he could get as a free agent, and then bring it back to the Packers and say, well, this is what I got. This is the offer I got from X team. Are you guys willing to match or exceed it?
Yeah, but you guys are discounting the fact that they're going to really piss him off.
No, I'm not discounting it at all.
They did this last year, and he's like, all right, fine, I guess the market. Now, if I'm Aaron Jones, I'd be like, you know where I'm a perfect fit? You know where I'm a perfect fit? And all of a sudden, they become a hardcore Super Bowl contender?
If you say Chicago or Detroit.
No. Gabe?
I don't know what you're guesses? Talking about, no.
Philly. Run the same kind of offense, good receivers. All they're doing is missing that back. DeAndre Swift didn't work out there. You plug Aaron Jones into Philly, and they're competing with the 49ers.
Sure, but again, like if Aaron Jones is going to be unreasonable and go, yeah, 1 year, $14 million, or I'm walking, then you have to let him
walk.
But
I don't think he's given us any indication that he would do that.
I'm right there with you. I think both sides realize that they need each other. Like Aaron Jones is more valuable in Green Bay than he is anywhere else. But they have to come to an agreement that's fair for both sides.
And I also think we keep talking about the veteran leadership aspect at other positions. Aaron Jones is that veteran leader on the offensive side of the ball. I feel like that in and of itself, because you guys were talking about at one point bringing guys back exclusively or mostly for a veteran leadership piece as opposed to the talent that they offered, as opposed to the production that they could offer. Here's a guy who is, one, a veteran leader and also incredibly productive.
When he's healthy.
Yeah.
I know everybody hates talking about that when it comes to Aaron Jones, but the when he's healthy thing becomes more and more of a conversation when you approach that 3-0 number in terms of your age for a running back.
Gabe, players, and I probably did a little bit of this myself. Players like, oh, you're asking me to take a pay cut? Okay. So, I ain't playing three games. I'm telling you, they do that.
Wait, time out. Are you trying to say that you think that's part of why Jones didn't play as much this past year?
I'm just saying players do that.
No, I know that. So you don't want us to make the connection then. You're saying it happens. Last year there was a situation that could fall into that category, but we're not willing to go out on a limb and say that that was what contributed to his limited availability.
I will say this, too. I think they are going to come to an agreement that it's going to be a two-year deal. Because where they can kind of spread it out. Annual average, probably around $10 million.
That's going to be more than that. He'd be an idiot.
But he's not getting that on the open market, yeah. Is the point.
You don't think so? You don't think Philadelphia would be like,
no.
Man, this guy's
nobody's
pretty...
nobody's paying running backs.
There hasn't been a running back that's worked in Philadelphia since they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And that's a missing piece for them.
Yeah, and there are so many other running backs out there. It's a simple supply and demand thing.
But
like,
you run the risk. Let's say Green Bay loses Aaron Jones and they go get... Who would you want? Derrick Henry's not going to work in this offense.
At this point,
I mean, they're not getting Saquon.
No, at this point, I draft a rookie and roll the dice.
Ah, God, that's a lot of dice.
But it's not really. How many rookie running backs have we seen that have just worked? Both the top two running backs last year, I would see Jahmyr Gibbs, and when he was used in Atlanta, Bijan Robinson. We saw firsthand how good Bijan Robinson was when he was able to do that.
There is a correlation at the back half of this season for the Packers with 500 with 500-yard games in a row in their push in the playoffs.
Yes.
Those go hand in hand.
Yep.
And to lose that and say, well, we'll see. And I'll give you an example. I don't know if it's an example. I'm blown away that Darnell Savage ran a 5.36 at the combine.
What?
Huh?
No, a 4.36. Sorry.
Okay.
I ran a 5.36. Did you know he ran a 4.36?
He's the slowest safety of all time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why there's a reason he was a first round pick.
And he's terrible. So what's to say they go get a running back that runs a 4.26 and the guy sucks? All I'm saying is you're in it. You are in it. You are a Super Bowl contender next year. Not the favorite, but a contender. And you're going to take away your second most valuable weapon on offense over $2 million
If he's not willing to play ball and realize what the running back market is, running backs are easily replaceable in the NFL.
But I also don't think that is what is going to happen.
Yeah, I think they're going to come to an agreement.
The report that was out there was that they had gone to Rosenhaus and said, can we do something about reducing the current salary, right, which was 11.1, if I'm remembering correctly?
Yes, that is his base salary.
So my guess is, yes, they figure out a way to do that. I don't think Aaron Jones wants to be anywhere else. Everybody wants to be valued for what they are.
Yes.
But I also think that Jones recognizes that he's got a good thing going on in Green Bay. And I think Green Bay recognizes that they have a good thing going on in Aaron Jones. And it's just a matter of them coming to a number that doesn't hurt either side.
He seems to be a really smart guy, too. Because when he just took the straight pay cut last year, everyone's like, oh, why did he do that? And then everything happened in the running back market that happened, where nobody was willing to, outside of the franchise tag that was thrown on three running backs, nobody was willing to pay really any free agent out there. So, so he kind of knew what the market was going to be and ended up getting what was kind of a market value deal in Green Bay last year.
Yeah, but Aaron, he feels that he outperformed what he was paid last year, and he probably wants to make that up.
Did he, though?
I think he did.
From an overall, when you take a look at his overall numbers, Chew, because of the games that he missed...
If you were to
How
rank
many games
off,
did he even miss, Gabe? I thought I saw he played 17 games, no?
No. No. Because remember, he missed a bunch after he injured the hamstring early.
Yeah.
He missed six games.
AJ Dillon show.
So if they lose him, you're not that concerned?
I mean, is it concerning? Yes. But if he's going to be unreasonable.
17 games in 2022 in the PackersNews.com article.
Yes. So, he missed six games and was limited in other games last year for the Packers. So you're cool with paying more than $1 million per game for running back?
I would give him 13.
Is he up over 100 yards per game?
One-year deal, 13.
No.
Bring it back.
No, I'm saying that would be the baseline.
He will not be. Because, I mean, what did the top back in the league average this year? Barely over that? I mean, Aaron Jones had a great run last year. It was also the first time he'd ever done anything like that in terms of back-to-back-to-back-to-back.
But he's not just a runner. He's a receiver, too. Like, Derrick Henry is not a receiver.
No, but also,
his catch numbers are never as high as you'd expect.
Yeah. I mean, Alvin Kamara is more of a receiver.
If he goes, who would you replace him with that's on that list? And there's about three of them that they can.
No, I'm shotgunning the position the way they have the wide receiver position with young guys at that point.
Okay.
If he's, again, I think he's going to be reasonable. I don't think he's going to be demanding anything that's outrageous. And I think they're going to come to an agreement on a reasonable 2-year deal where they can push some of the more money off in the future, and his cap number is going to be perfectly fine this year.
I just think, like, I understand what you're saying, Chewy. I totally get it, and I totally understand why the Packers should bring him back. But when the market just doesn't say people are going to get paid the way that he is right now, why, like, he should have leverage, but he doesn't because nobody pays running backs anymore. It's just the nature of the business. Like, you're kind of battling both the Packers and just the general market of NFL quarterback running backs.
Do you trust Rosenhaus?
No.
Oh, God, no.
No. I mean, that seems to be implied what the large factor is behind this.
Yeah. Which is also kind of factored in why I think everybody was shocked that Jones took the pay cut last year when Rosenhaus is his agent.
As his agent?
Yeah.
But he's got his thumb on the pulse, as you said, Gabe, of the market.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that... Whoa, computer shouting at me. I think that was that Jason Wilde?
I don't know. It
sounded like Jason Wilde yelling at me. Mute the computer, for goodness sake. I think that at the end of the day, they're going to figure out a way to get this done. I don't think that Aaron Jones in his time in Green Bay has ever come across as somebody who is all about the bottom line. I think he understands the value of a fit. I think he knows how well he fits in the offense and what Matt LaFleur wants to do. And for that reason, and not that reason alone, but a overwhelming reason, he and his people will figure out a way to make sure that he's in Green Bay. I mean, Aaron Jones should be a Packer for life. Like, yeah, I know it happens where guys go elsewhere and they finish their career elsewhere because they can't make the money work. But oftentimes that's ego. And as you mentioned, not aware of what is happening on the market. And the running back situation right now has to play a huge role in how this sucker gets shaken out. So I would be shocked, guys, if he isn't in Green Bay next year and the two sides cannot work out a deal.
So this has to be done by when?
They gave it a 2-week deadline because then what starts happening is the league year stuff starts happening and then he gets paid out tons of money.
So realistically, at some point this week, Chew, I think at some point, because legal tampering, I believe, begins on Monday.
Yeah.
And then the free agent market and the league year opens up next Wednesday, the 13th. So at some point this week, maybe over the weekend, if you really push it toward that deadline, I think is when we get some sort of news on an Aaron contract.
We'll put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy poll. Do you expect the Packers and Aaron Jones to get something worked out this week that makes him a Packer in 2024? Let us know on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account. For your next night out, make Aria, the acclaimed restaurant inside St. Kate, the Arts Hotel, your dinner destination. It is nestled on the second floor of St. Kate. It is an artful dining experience that captivates with its culinary creativity. And I got to tell you, when I have friends come in from out of town, friends who work at the network with me, they're oftentimes staying at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. So we will have dinner at your favorite place, Aria. It transcends tradition and leans into the realm of playful and inventive flavors. Come and experience the magic of Aria, where every bite is a work of culinary artistry. Learn more and make reservations at Aria at stkate.com. That's Aria at stkate.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Any of those things, because it exceeds... It's like... I'm sorry, I'm burping up my apple right there. That's what that was. I wasn't pausing for effect. I literally was burping
my
apple.
Can we just go to break?
No.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We touched on the other detail that was in that article, guys, but that was that the Packers are not expected to re-sign running back A.J. Dillon. The Aaron Jones stuff got a lot of the headlines, but the A.J. Dillon thing seems a little bit more definitive, doesn't it, Gabe?
Yeah, it's not shocking, though. The last 2 years just have not worked out the way that everybody hoped that they would. And as much as we all love A.J. Dillon and want to be in Green Bay because he wants to be here, cost-effective-wise, they no matter what, they need to start to put a succession plan in for Aaron Jones. Mm-hmm. No matter what happens with Aaron Jones, even if they come to an agreement on a couple-year deal, they need to have kind of a plan in place. So I think they need to draft a running back, maybe two. They have 11 picks in the upcoming draft. And if you have that guy who's going to be cheaper than A.J. Dillon, it doesn't really make sense to have A.J. Dillon on the team.
But I think that tells you that they're not even giving him the opportunity. Hey, go see what you can get out in the market and we'll see whether we're going to match it. That position needs to be upgraded for the reason Gabe just said. Aaron Jones, maybe at most 2 years left, you would think. So, yeah, they got to start thinking of a replacement there.
And, Chu, who did you say has the leverage in this situation?
I think Aaron does, you know, because there's that fear of rolling the dice. If Aaron goes away, then I don't know who you look on that list, but you try to bring in someone comparable to Aaron Jones, and then there's the fear of, like, wow, Sammy Watkins really didn't work out. Good blocker, but didn't work out. And that could derail a Super Bowl-type season because you saw what happened at the end of the year, and there's reasons as to why that happened, and a big part of it is Aaron Jones' production.
Yeah, I go back to, I don't know who pays him, like, more than what the Packers are going to pay him. I think, that's the other thing. The Packers are smart. They know the kind of general vicinity of what running backs are going to get on the open market. I think they're going to offer something competitive to that to Aaron Jones, and they're better together.
Where would you put him on that list of all those free agents that are going to hit the market?
Fourth.
Running back. Would you put him above Derrick Henry?
Yeah. Uh-huh. But he's behind Saquon, he's behind Eckler, he's behind Josh Jacobs. He's behind those three.
Eckler? He's kind of the same type of player, isn't he?
Eckler's a more effective receiver.
Okay. And who was the third one?
Josh Jacobs.
Not a great receiver.
I think the Packers, if it comes to it,
he's also younger,
can say if we get 80% Aaron Jones in the draft or in free agency, that's more than good enough.
Yeah.
I think they feel pretty comfortable with that.
What do you mean if they get 80% Aaron Jones in the draft or free agency?
80%.
If they get somebody who's comparable to 80% of Aaron Jones?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, guys. I think the familiarity is not getting enough credit here. Familiarity in the system, the fact that the offensive line likes blocking for him. I think there's a lot of things here that are probably difficult to put a price on, which, again, nobody knows more than the Packers. But when we're talking about leverage, I think that gives Jones some leverage that maybe you don't see on the stat sheet.
No, it's the position. The position is, no running back, I think, has leverage. Yeah. There's not a single running back that, especially in this market.
But I guess I could make the argument, though, Gabe, that if anybody does, it would be Jones, because he's been here as long as he has, because he is so well-respected, because the guys like him, and because they are lacking veteran leadership on that side of the ball. And he's been that guy.
So what's that worth to you?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That doesn't show up on a stat sheet. I don't think anybody has a spreadsheet that says, well, veteran leadership is worth $600.
But how much is that worth to you? Like, how much do you think that's worth? Is that worth an extra million?
I think if I'm
2 million?
Chu, I think you and I are in alignment here that if this is the window, if you think this is the Super Bowl window, I think this year in particular, that's worth probably more to the Packers than it is to any other team.
But I don't think this year is the Super Bowl window. I mean, especially with a new defensive coordinator.
It's open. Yeah, it's open.
That's what I mean. The window is open. I'm not saying this is the only year they can win the Super Bowl. I'm saying, but you're in that window now.
But I don't think Aaron Jones, unless they win it this next year, I don't think Aaron Jones is going to be the lead back of the Packers if they win a Super Bowl with Jordan Love.
I think you try to keep consistency as much as possible on that side of the ball because of the way that things were clicking at the end of the year. You know you're not necessarily going to have consistency on the offensive line. There might be some shuffling there. But as much as possible, keep things as they are. You know you're going to lose A.J. Dillon, but you expect somebody can come in and either match that production or hopefully exceed that production. Again, I think they're going to get it done. I think y'all are on the same page that you think they're going to get it done. I don't think that a pay cut is out of the question. I think that's going to happen as well because Aaron Jones recognizes how great a situation he has in Green Bay and the Packers recognize how great it is to have somebody like that and consistency at that position.
That's why I think a 2-year deal makes the most sense because you can take the $11 million that he's owed and you can spread that over. Like, you can guarantee the 11. Hey, we'll guarantee you the 11. We're just going to spread it over a couple of years so we can make it work with the cap. I think that's kind of the basis of the conversations they end up having. Is he guaranteed?
What do you think Saquon's going to get? Saquon's going to get paid.
I think there's a couple places that if they get a deal done, they will play him. Mainly, Mr. Establish the Run, Jim Harbaugh in San Diego. Sorry, San Diego. In Los Angeles with the Chargers.
Who are you, me?
Yeah, I did. I joined in with you there.
It's contagious.
It's all that drinking I've been doing.
Alcoholic. We roll on after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.